If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, today we have Tamara Weiland here. She is the founder, director, and therapeutic forest-approved practitioner at Adventure Me and Trek Outdoors. Tamara has been working with children in various capacities since 1997. She started a daycare center as soon as she was old enough to work, and from there went on to work in a special education day program with the Tungland Corporation. Shortly after relocating, she taught music and dance at the Academy of Performing Arts in Prescott, Arizona, and accepted the position of the musical director. As the musical director, she oversaw the annual company musical production. After a short break from teaching to complete her bachelor's degree and to get married, she once again started teaching music and dance at East West Music Dance in San Jose, California. In addition to working as the Family Programs Administrator for the United States Army Reserves. After another move and a break to start a family, Tamara began her master's courses in special education with an emphasis in autism. She also completed a course in permaculture and forest schools in Portland, Oregon, and went on to complete her early childhood director certificate. During this time, she started a family and a nature's club in Albuquerque at Kirkland Air Force Base. So Adventure Me represents inserting yourself into the adventure at any age and to never stop wondering. Without further ado, Tamara Weiland.
Welcome. Hello, Tamara. We are here for another Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk. For those that are listening, that means that if you are a Circle Outdoor Classrooms member, you get to see the incredible pictures. You get to actually go behind the scenes of her program and see these incredible pictures. So, and those that are listening to the podcast get to hear the stories. So, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. I'm thrilled that you are here and cannot wait to hear all about your program. So to start, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and whatnot?
Absolutely. So I was actually born and raised in Colorado. So I had nature running through my blood from the very beginning. And I took some time to leave after high school and just explore a little bit more of our beautiful country and got married in the process and had a few boys. And when my husband said that it was my turn to live my dream, because he had already lived his, we decided to come back to Colorado and start the process of opening a nature-based preschool.
Wow. Were you, you had nature in your blood, but you were you an educator? Did you have that background or?
I was not an educator. So I actually majored in journalism, in writing, and went off to start writing for various organizations, mostly nonprofits. And when I had my first son, he was born with a congenital heart defect. And of course, you start to spiral into learning everything you possibly can about the defect and about the impacts of the on the body. And it really occurred to me that there was no way he was going to be held up inside most of his life. I knew the outdoors was already very healing. I had seen it in my dad growing up, who also had, he was diabetic. And I just I don't know, something innately from within me said, you need to be outside. And so I just started exploring all these options. And back in 2009, it really hadn't become a thing in the United States yet. There was a school in Washington, maybe a few others popping up, but it was still very new. So I just dove right into forests and nature schools and tried to learn everything that I possibly could.
And that brings us to you. There is a therapeutic aspect to your work.
Yes. So back in 2022, we received a grant to run a outdoor nature-based program for kids with special needs. I had a parent in our program who was already a occupational therapist, and she was feeling a little burned out being inside all the time. She also loved the outdoors, and her son attended our program. And I had just happened to take a training on therapies in the outdoors. And I said, hey, is this something you'd be interested in? And she was like, absolutely. So we received a grant, and we had a speech and language pathologist also approach us and ask if she could be a part of it. And it just continued to roll into this program where we watched these kids who were coming to us with, you know, anxiety or just not an ability to really get over uneven surfaces, probably less confidence working with peers. So we made peers an integral part of our program. So having kids that could model, you know, appropriate play, and just find kids and kids who love to be outside. And so that evolved into our nonprofit now, Trek Outdoors. And we've integrated those kids into our regular preschool program. But then our therapists also offer outside therapies after school. And we're just continuing to build.
Wow. 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 So you have, tell me a little bit about Adventure Me, and then you have Trek Outdoors. What, can you tell me a little bit about each one or how they evolved into each other?
Absolutely. So Adventure Me launched right at the beginning of COVID, and we had no idea what was coming, but it was amazing because being outside, we started hearing more and more from people who were seeking out programs that weren't closing, but were also outdoors. And we spent a lot of time outdoors that first year. And it's just, we started with 5 or 6 kiddos. And you can see the beginning group there in the left photo, reading in front of the open window of the classroom. And we just took off with that. And we played outside. And my own son, my youngest son, was a part of that. You know, I just wanted the ability to spend as much time with him as I got with his older brothers being outside. And this just was wonderful for him. And, you know, meeting peers and meeting friends. And to this day, we still are friends with everybody, you know, and he's 8 now. So 5 years later,
that's incredible.
You know, he's friends with all these kids. So Adventure Me is our preschool program. And now Trek Outdoors, basically scholarships or sponsors children with disabilities to be in our program with those kids and also receive the support of an occupational therapist and a speech and language pathologist in the program. So they're not being removed from therapies or removed for therapies. Their therapies are being integrated into the activities. So sledding, you can see on the right there, That's a therapeutic activity. So not only are they getting an input, but they're also receiving inputs from peers and play and just feeling, you know, like they belong.
Yeah. So is Trek Outdoors, and they kind of work together. So
they do.
So they're sort of a married couple, I guess.
Yes.
A married program.
Trek is really our, we just wanted to have resources available for families who wanted something different or who maybe were, you know, just really wanted the outdoors to be a part of their kids. I mean, we're in Colorado, you know, and we have the most amazing weather most of the time.
Yeah, it's amazing. And again, you were talking a lot about the therapeutic aspect and the focus of your program. So that seems to come from the Trek Outdoors piece. Are there any other components? Am I getting that right? Is there any other components to that?
Being outside is naturally therapeutic. This is a benefit for all kids. It's really, I mean, every child is going to benefit from sensory play. You know, every child is going to benefit from looking up and around and rather than, you know, straightforward. Every child is going to benefit from feeling cold and learning about their bodies and how do they mitigate that cold, you know. So it's really just therapy all around. And we were seeing that. I had a mom approach me at the in the second year of our program, just asking if, you know, she thought that her daughter would be a good fit in our program. She was diagnosed with autism, and I had not had a lot of experience with them, you know, having a child with autism in the classroom. But I said, sure, why not? That was part of my studies when I did my master's. And we just went with it. And we just watched and saw how she progressively came out of her shell. And you really couldn't tell. And I think that's really what kicked it off for me was, hey, wait a minute. I think this could be really good for everybody. So we just wanted to make it more accessible. And that's what Trek does.
Incredible. So in terms of your programming, it looks like you do some incredible work and these pictures are amazing. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the rhythm and the flow of your classes and your program?
Yeah, absolutely. So the kiddos arrive at 9 o'clock in the morning and we just let them play for a little bit. We watch them. It kind of helps us gauge too where they might be for the day. Is someone a little bit more quiet than usual? Is someone a little bit more maybe energetic than normal? And we just try to watch and see and let them kind of play that out for the morning and help regulate themselves. And then we gather our belongings and walk out to our outdoor, well, arrive outdoors too, but we walk out to this classroom and we put our stuff down and the kids get to sit down and we read a story and have snack and sing songs. And our OTs will integrate some sort of obstacle course that ends with our speech and language pathologist for kids who might have some sort of need for intervention there. And then if they don't, we have the kids, or she has the kids, describe something they see or pick out things in the forest that might be bumpy, you know, so they're really integrating their language with their thinking. So again, it's not really that they need a speech and language pathologist, mm-hmm. but she's just helping them connect their words with their brains. And I mean, it's really fascinating to see the creativity that arises and getting these kids to be more verbal anyway. So they learn to speak to each other. And
oh, what a gift to have all these occupational therapists right on your staff. I mean, that's,
yes,
what a gift. So you bring a lot of play, obviously, and allowing them to, can you tell us a little bit more about that? And you talked a little bit about the occupational therapy, but anything else? I see this picture is clearly an occupational therapist working with a child on a swing. Can you just share a bit more?
Yeah. So we hung swings up. I mean, swinging is an important part of the body and development for children. So we didn't want to take that away. And, you know, we're in a ponderosa pine forest, so we have to add a few elements to get some of that in there. But what you don't see in this picture is kids that are coming in and they might be talking to this child or swinging next to the child on the other swing. You can really see just the input that he's receiving here from the OT, but he's also getting the visual input of looking around and that calming aspect of being outside. And even when kids are running around, it's not distracting like it would be in an enclosed space. It's more of a point for this child to be able to observe and watch his peers and take that in while he's having some fun on the swing and receiving attention from an adult, which any child would be happy to receive.
Oh, absolutely. And then you have, in this picture, you have some of the kids are barefoot, which I absolutely love, which is another aspect of all the therapy. I mean, for any child, I mean, that's what's so beautiful. Yes. If you really seems like you've streamlined it so much so that you can't, it's beneficial to all children and all, even adults as well. So
yeah,
I love that some of them are barefoot.
Yeah, we try to give them that option. I mean, regulations and licensing can sometimes put some barriers on that. But it is a very important input for kids to have bare feet and to feel that. And not everybody loves that, and that's okay. But the ones who do, we like to give them that option, and they can sense when they're uncomfortable. And again, that's really important for them to start knowing more about themselves and what they want.
Brilliant. It's just so fun. And risk play. For those that are watching, can you explain the pictures? They're just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And how that incorporates risk play.
Absolutely. So, you know, what I love most about a forest classroom is that it's constantly evolving and changing, and they move things from one area to another. So this area was some dirt that we had left over from when we put the yurt classroom in years ago. And it has been everything from hill to put a slide on to something to dig treasures for. And these boys really just wanted some mud. And we had some rain, but they just wanted more mud. So we just brought more and more water over for them. And they had a blast. They were constructing, they were exploring. They were, you know, ones who would generally shy away from this kind of play. I think having their peers with them really made it fun. But they were sliding down the hill and jumping into the hole that they had dug and filled with water. So it was essentially a mud bath.
God, it's just...
Yeah, so...
The picture's priceless.
it really is. There were so many from this day, and it was just one of those moments where you're like, this is exactly what preschool education looks like.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no one there telling them no. You know, their parents are aware that we allow this. So it's a great day for puddle jumping.
So they're not wearing rain suits or anything. So how did you manage the cleanup? I mean, I think that's even better in the sense that it's warm and their shirts are off
and they're
feeling the dirt. So how did you manage?
Would you like us to hose you off a little bit? And they all loved that as well. So we took a hose at the end of the day and we hosed them down. That's cold water. You know, we have from a well, but they loved it. Again, it's just that system. I mean, there's even studies on cold water and the effects on the body, you know. So I mean, it really just a day of just amazing benefits for these boys, you know, not only the microbes from the dirt, but the cold of the water. And then in this next photo, we had received a bunch of boxes from things that we had added to the classroom over the summer. So I kept those as loose parts. And we put them up. And so just having a space away where you can't really be seen, you know, is so important to kids. It gives them that sense of independence and that ability really to self-control. And that was just really fun to watch as they built forts and were hiding.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of our male teachers, Mr. Eddie, they love hiding from him and sneaking up on him, and he'll come in and he'll flip them upside down and swing them around and chase them, and they'll run to the fort and hide. So it's that risky play of just roughhousing, essentially. And that's also just a great input, even for kids. Again, a child in this photo is part of our Trek program, and you're just seeing him come out of his shell and receive that kind of input and not be afraid. It's just, it's really fun. And he gets excited when Mr. Eddie is getting ready to they call it rough and tumble.
Yeah.
Like, can we rough and tumble? I was just going to say, in this third picture, it's not very high off the ground, but this is a new way of learning how to control their bodies and, you know, getting across safely. And how do I manage this? And if they fall, it might hurt a tiny bit, but it's not going to cause any major problems. But it was fun to watch as they figure this out and what this becomes after they get into this. So
yeah, incredible. So many different things. So are you working with curriculum? Are you following the child? Where do you find?
Our program is mostly child-led. We just kind of incorporate what we can into their day. So this is actually my Miss Andrea, she speaks Spanish, so she incorporates a lot of Spanish into the kids' days, but just through hand washing and repeating you know, words in Spanish for them. So they start to learn, oh, like, hey, my hand's manos. She'll do hot and cold. Like, what do you prefer? Do you want hot water or cold water? And it's just really fun to just integrate all that into the day. And then if they bring up something, we're able to pull from this cache of knowledge. And that's what I think is really amazing about nature-based educators is we can kind of flip on a dime and start some sort of new thing just based on what we know, because we're constantly learning too. If a child asks me something, if I don't know it, I will look it up and find out. And then I have that stored for next time. I love that ability of play.
So are there any, so this space that you're in, is that part of your property? Where is this?
Yes. So we are on private property. Colorado is currently working on a legislative piece to license forest and nature schools. And there's a great group of people that are putting that together and have been working on that. But I went the route of using private property and going through the licensing process and putting in waivers and asking for variances. And for the most part, they've been just wonderful in helping me put together the program. And now that we've been in operation for several years, it's fun when like a new special or licensing specialist comes out and they're like, wow, you know, this is so different from all of my other programs.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And they're these little guys with their shoes off in the sandbox. I want to keep going with pictures, but as we're talking, oh, this is your bus. Before we get to the bus, any tips about the business side of things? So you started this up and you were journal major and you had this innate need or want to explore more with the nature-based. How did you manage starting up this huge business?
It was funny because I think I always tried to push aside that teacher in me, because I had taught my whole life dance. I worked in a daycare, but I don't know why there was like some sort of stigma in my head that, no, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a teacher. And just it sucks you in. It brings you in, you know, and I'm passionate about little kids and playing and teaching. But I really just recommend people to just start putting it together, because we read so much. You try to tell yourself that taking these trainings and visiting programs is moving forward, but you're really just running in place by that point. And you just have to take the leap and start something, even if it's just a nature club, because that's really how I started. You know, my husband was in the Air Force and I didn't have a property to do this, but I knew that there were going to be other moms who would want to get outside with their children, but didn't feel safe to go by themselves. So I started taking kids outside with other moms. And that's how we started this program.
It's amazing. It's such a testament to just starting. Yeah. And not being afraid of starting and then figuring it out. It's sort of like the way I describe it is jumping out of a plane and not necessarily having your parachute, but it's, you know, eventually the parachute will come out and you'll figure it out. You know, I think
absolutely. And you'll find people are there to, they really want to help you and they really want to be a part of it. And you just have to be open to that and just start building a community, because that's where it really comes from.
Yeah, fantastic. It's such a great answer. And these are more fantastic pictures in your amazing space. We got.
Yeah, our hammock area. It's hard to put up straps all the time and take them down. We can't leave these up in the forest because we don't want a buck coming through and getting caught in the hammocks or the squirrels coming in and chewing everything up. So we put these hooks into our trees and set some posts so the kids can hook them in when they want them and take them down when they're done. And it's just another one level of independence, you know, for them to be able to choose, hey, my body's feeling a little bit tired or my body's feeling like I want to swing. And so it's just another aspect. And then, you know, opportunities for measurement in the second photo and being able to explore. And they do. It's really fun to watch how this simple machine becomes something so much more. I never anticipate what it is the kids are going to do with the items that we put in the forest. Okay. They always think of something that I don't.
Yeah, that's just such a good idea. This is a whole nother. This could be. I am so excited about this and to learn about this is you got a bus.
Yes.
And you did what you see on those great pictures. You looks like you gutted the bus.
Yep.
And so tell us the story of the bus. And does it have a name?
So the official name for licensing is the Mobile Lab. So Learning Adventures Bus. Our teachers call it the Magic School Bus.
Oh.
Because it truly is magic. I had always had this idea as kids got older to have a classroom where we could take them to new environments and have them learn in these new environments and be hands-on with what it was they were really receiving. And my husband showed up with this bus one day. I had this yellow bus pulling up the driveway and I hear a beep, beep. And I said, what? And he's like, well, you know, he has this great habit of hearing me say something and, you know, starting the process.
Talk about jumping out of the plane. That is brilliant.
Yes. And I had, you know, all of our preschoolers at that point, the parents were, please, what, you know, kindergarten, what are we going to do for kindergarten? This is just amazing. And I said, well, let's see if we can get this done in time. You know, we had about a year to gut it before. I mean, that's how far ahead these parents were thinking.
Wow.
And so we, you know, my husband gutted it and he did probably 90% of the work on this bus. And we got it done right before school started. It was incredible. And so these kids, we get to take them to.
So where, if it's gutted. Where do they sit if you're traveling to all these wonderful places?
So there's actually seats in the front.
Oh, okay.
There's a few seats in the front, but we actually have this parked on location and we transport them in a smaller bus.
Oh.
Yeah, just to make it easier. It's a little intimidating to drive a bus. I didn't realize that was going to be part of my resume also, but I've become quite good at it.
I just love it. And so these are pictures of places that you go.
Yes. So we've been to a building site for an architect, and they're actually going to be going back next week to kind of see the progression on the site that they got to help with because they were trenching and, you know, learning about why that was important and drainage and all of that stuff and framing. And then the right picture there is on a local conservation property. Wow. We just have the most amazing community members who love what we're doing and are so eager to be a part of it or just contribute in some way. So this was a pond on the conservation property and testing the ice here. And they know what's safe and what's not. And they're supervised. They're never left alone. Mm-hmm. But we do like to watch from a distance and see what it is that they come up with. And then on those days where it's just really cold, they can go inside and take a break and the bus is heated and there's a bathroom.
Oh, there's a bathroom?
There is a bathroom in the back. There is a toilet and a sink to wash hands and
wow.
Yeah. So, and there's challenges presented with freezing temperatures, but you know, as we go along and figuring it out and it just gets easier and better. And again, that's that, you know, leaping before you're 100% ready to go because you know how important this is. So
I love
it. And the one thing that I love here too on that left picture is when they're out hiking in the parks, they're coming upon community members who are just as curious about them as they are of them, of these community members. And because they're so well regulated and they spend so much time outside and they're not afraid to talk to other people, these community members are just so impressed by their desire to want to learn and know more. So it's just really this great partnership. You know, we're teaching them the world is not scary. People are wonderful. You never know what you're going to learn when you're just willing to, you know, and open for an opportunity to come along.
Oh my God, I just got goosebumps. It's exactly what you want for any child, even an adult, to just learn, just to be open and eager and excited and filled with wonder, but not that fear because there's so much going on with global warming and
you
know, there's all these horrible things that are going on in the world. But to have this oasis and teaching of just, no, it's actually a pretty cool place. And you take them to cool places. And so they have this mindset of, yeah, I'm going to be a lifelong learner.
Yeah.
Like that's what you're instilling.
Yeah. There's opportunity everywhere for learning. And, you know, another business aspect side of things is just don't be afraid to go out into your community and ask. There's a picture here of them in the planetarium, getting an amazing hands-on experience again. And then on the right there, we approached our zoo. And I mean, they could have said no, but they didn't. And 9 times out of 10, most people are going to be incredibly open to supporting the learning of little kids, you know, and especially programs like this who are thinking way outside of the box.
Well, I think it's a win-win for everybody because you are what you said earlier in terms of you're basically creating a community.
Yeah.
And you're inviting people into your community to be a part of your community. So it's a win-win. So they get to be a part of your community and people get to find out what they're all about. So it extends the arms, I think.
It really does.
And it's the essence of community. So you're in all these different places and just because your husband came to your home with a bus.
Bus. Yeah, absolutely. He does listen. I never can accuse him of that. But yeah, we just know, like, we've watched and seen the incredible impacts of this type of learning on these kids. And again, it goes back to confidence and risk assessment and knowing, again, world is not scary. I'm capable of a lot. I'm capable of assessing from a distance, and I'm capable of climbing a tree, or I'm capable of, you know, I don't... It's there's just so many components that go into this. And it's nice because we really don't have to be in charge of all of them, which I also love. You know, I love this part of the teaching because, you know, when we do hand it off to the community a little bit, we get to step back and learn from other adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So this is all mixed with the Adventure Me and Trek. They all get to go.
I mean, this is its own program, essentially, but a lot of our kids from the pre-K move up into this program. So,
yeah, look at
this. Just an extension again of, and they're hiking, they're building endurance and resilience. And, you know, they came upon a little wiki up there and, you know, they checked it out for safety and had lunch in it. And
it's incredible. It's amazing. Then is this your space or this is a place that you're visiting? Probably.
That's a place that we're visiting. That's just down at one of the state parks. And then the wiki up is actually across the road in the hiking area. And so we get them out. We take them to a lot of different places. There's just so many opportunities for learning around here. We want them to expand their idea of community.
And it seems like they also are just hardy. I mean, they've been outside. They can go on long walks. Their gross motor development seems right up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like these kids they move well. They interact well. They're just eager for anything that gets brought up. So this is a local farm or a couple of local farms in this picture, actually, where the kids get to spend time on, and the classroom is parked there and they get a lot of hands-on learning. There's a wonderful greenhouse classroom, and actually they've been there this week too. It was really wild to be inside with blossoming fruit trees and then, you know, outside there's a blizzard. So, you know, it just that really amazing, like, oh, wow, it's two different ecosystems right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Completely.
Yeah. And then right hand side there, it's one of our local educational farms that we started with at the beginning of the year. And again, it's just that partnering, and we're helping them because we're bringing families to them and the awareness to them so that they can bring more people, more volunteers in. And that's another thing about our program is we're always, hey, how can we help you? You know, do you need a cleanup day? Do you need a planting day? Can the kids plant seeds for you? And so it's just this mutual relationship, symbiotic, right?
I love that. I love that. So if you were to give one seed of inspiration or two or three, what to a parent or an educator, what would that be?
I would say First off, I really encourage people to just stand back and watch a child, watch your child, watch a child that's in your care, and just try to see it from their eyes, because you're really, that spark is going to come from them. That inspiration is going to come from them. You can really see kids think. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we could really benefit from pausing and watching and allowing that spark to be placed in us. And then once you have that spark, find people who also have that spark and just start partnering, figure out how you do it. Don't let regulations get in the way. Don't let someone, you know, negative feedback get in your way. You just start and everything falls into place as long as you're open to a failure or open to something not quite going your way, and understanding that's part of the learning process. And that's what we're trying to teach them. So why wouldn't it also be good for you?
And I love how you say, don't let anybody, like the regulations, because people will just come up with all the reasons why they can't start and get out there. So you're saying to just jump, take the jump.
There's always a way.
There's always a way. I love that. And there's your bus. Is there anything, such a great picture. Is there anything else that we missed that you'd like to share? That I love the fact that you have this complete therapeutic aspect to your programming and you just aren't afraid to dive in and make it work. So anything else that that you'd like to share with us that we may have missed?
No, I just appreciate you so much having me on your podcast. And I really want to just let everybody know that if they have any questions, I am always available to help. I think by helping other people get started, it's only growing this movement and helping this movement and benefiting more kids, because that's what we want to see. And no one program is ever going to be able to serve the need and fill that void. And so I am completely open to helping anybody. That's why we started Trek Outdoors. You know, we're hoping to get to the point where we can provide scholarships to other programs to bring in an occupational therapist or have some sort of support so they can start integrating other kids in their communities as well. So I think partnership and just supporting one another is so important.
So where can folks find you?
So we're on Instagram. I'm at AdventureMeFS and also at Trek Outdoors. And our website is www.adventuremeonline.com or www.trek-outdoors.org.
Perfect. And I will have all that information in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining us. And it's been absolutely a thrill to learn more about your program and how we can really add the therapeutic aspect of it, but also just diving in and doing it. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you for joining us here at the Outdoor Classrooms podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with anybody who you think would enjoy it and follow us on Instagram. We'd love to continue the conversation. If you want to continue the conversation even deeper, please join us in the Circle community. The purpose of the Circle is to support, guide, and push you as you continually grow and sustain your outdoor classroom by providing the tools to help you set the right goals, then actually follow through in achieving those goals with the support of our amazing community. Each month, 24/7, you get guidance and support from myself. You get to begin your journey with our new member roadmap. You get access to our outdoor teaching bootcamp. You get to interact and learn from guest experts who are on our podcast. They come into our membership and join us to continue the conversation. You get to connect and collaborate during 2 live sessions a month. You get access to all our online workshops and masterclasses. You get to dig deeper with our membership missions each month, and you get to become an ambassador of joy for children. I hope you can join us. You get all of this. You get to become a member of our family at Outdoor Classroom. So I hope you can join us. I will share the link in the show notes, and we'll see you later. Come join us.